Dear listener, it's Monday morning, the dreaded beginning of the work week, and Matt and I have some advice for you to make it through the next 5 days on this mini episode of The Working Experience. Enjoy.
The Working Experience.
93 North is almost at a standstill. It's a rough one out there this morning, snow and sleet.
There is no service on
the... Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Yeah, folks, we're going to be a few minutes. We have train traffic ahead of us. We should be moving shortly.
John, we need that report ASAP.
Where are we on that presentation?
Dan, HR wants to see you.
Did you return that email yet?
We have a team meeting at 10.
Need to stay late, Bob.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
They're moving in a different direction.
And after the meeting, we'll have a breakout session.
Who ate my biscuits?
Where are my hot pockets?
This microwave is disgusting.
Oh, God, what's that
smell? He was clipping his toenails at his desk. I can't take it anymore.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Working Experience Podcast. It's Matty K.
And John, welcome on this Monday, start of the work week. But again, Matt, you know, every day feels like Groundhog Day.
Not me. I was out of bed 5 a.m. making the bed. Listen, folks, we're going to talk about this more during the week. Make your bed. You.
Always make your bed.
I
know you,
bed.
As soon as you pop up, you've got all your employees on speed dial, just frantically dialing, making sure the hustle is moving along.
Well, I don't really have employees, but yeah, my side hustlers. I like to call them my side hustlers.
I actually read an article that a lot of... quote-unquote entrepreneurs are flooding the market with products that claim to cure the coronavirus. And I immediately thought of our soap.
Well, see, they claim that it does. We're not claiming
we have
anything.
Scientific proven tests.
Claim makes it sound like someone's lying. See? And I always go back to what George Costanza told Jerry Seinfeld. It's not a lie if you believe it. See?
Right.
Yeah. So if you
what we should really do is we should a lot of businesses are changing their manufacturing to push out like hand sanitizer and the like. What we should do is we should send over a pallet of 100,000 bars of our soap to Italy and just squish the pandemic over there.
That's right. Just squash it. It was taken care.
Squash it, right. Squash.
Yeah. It brings to mind that it is pretty much the lowest of the low who exploits times like this, you know?
Yeah.
But if you look back at, like, Nazi Germany, you look at Volkswagen, you look at IG Farben, they all use slave labor, you know? They it was like, hey, it's a business decision.
Hey, when in Rome.
Yeah. But you know what kind of kills me is that there was this... backlash, I guess. You know, like a lot of NBA players have been tested. Tom Hanks and his wife, Idris Elba. And there was this thing about like, well, why are these rich and, you know, powerful, famous people, they're getting tested ahead of everyone else? And I'm like, are you new around here? Like, yeah, rich people get better medical care. I know. Like, what a shock. Did this shock everyone?
I mean, shocking.
It's terrible. Like, it's not fair. It's awful. But it's always just been the truth. I mean, they get better medical care. You know? So, I mean.
Yeah, you know, dealing with this stuff and the self-quarantine. Like, if you're a homeless person, it's got to be rough.
Or if you're in a nursing home. You know,
oh, nursing! It flies through a nursing home. It's like the Grim Reaper through a nursing home.
You don't have a, you know, maybe not the best nursing home. You know, your family doesn't have a lot of money. Oh, it's terrible. It's just I think of some like 90-year-old woman in a nursing home by herself. With, I mean, it must be awful. It must be just awful with no one coming to visit her.
Well, they can't. I think you. They're on lockdown. I don't think you can visit.
I think
you can, like, wave through the window or something.
Yeah, which is terrible. I mean, at a time when they, like, really need someone with them to, like, hold their hand, you know? You
right.
can't do that.
Yeah, no, it's brutal. It's brutal.
And, yeah, homeless people. I was talking to my brother about this. Like, you know, you and I both went to school in the Bronx. You know, they have those huge high-rises and those blocks and blocks of apartment buildings. Can you imagine just like being a I don't know, 12-year-old kid, and you're quarantined in your apartment. And brutal. It's like, God, I mean, there's like
nowhere bouncing off the walls.
Bouncing off the walls. There's nowhere to go. And, you know, all this anxiety, food, you know, getting food and all that.
I mean, like for me, I'm in the burbs. Like, I can walk, I can go out in the street and walk. I can walk around my property and go to a park. Like,
I've been doing that quite a bit. If I was
in Manhattan apartment, I'd go AWOL.
Well, Charlie Baker and I think Andrew Cuomo, both of whom, I thought it would be awesome if Andrew Cuomo could run for president with Charlie Baker as his VP. I mean, that these two guys are like, seem to be the pinnacle of competence and reason. And you have Trump throwing out random dates like Easter.
Easter. We're all going to be back up and running by Easter.
Do you know why? What his rationale was for saying that?
Why?
It's a very beautiful time. I thought it was a very beautiful day to do that. That is beautiful. Seriously his rationale.
Beautiful. Hey, listen, I'm already setting my calendar.
I mean, you have medical experts saying this is just some random date. It doesn't matter that it's Easter. Like, the virus doesn't know that. You know, like, just pulling a random date out of a hat and saying, yeah, we're going to cancel all of social distancing.
I think one of the scientists, I don't know if it was the... Who's the lead scientist?
I can't remember his name.
Fabroni or whatever his name is.
Starts with an F, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think he said it, but one of the healthcare leaders said, if you set a date and then tell everybody just to go about a business, it could have dire consequences. I mean,
but it's such a beautiful day, though. It's such
a beautiful day. Nice, hey, listen, if it's a beautiful day, there's no need to self-quarantine.
Easter Sunday, the resurrection. I mean, these are very good scientific bases to make these decisions on. Yeah, his doctor, by the way, is 80 years old. The guy up until recently, maybe a few months ago, ran 7 miles a day. And he's had to cut that back to 3.5 because he's kind of busy. Like, that's pretty amazing. That is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing.
However, I think, I don't know if it was Charlie Baker or Andrew Cuomo. Again, both of whom I really have a lot of respect for in the way they've handled this. But they were getting frustrated that kids were out playing basketball and stuff like that and weren't listening. I'm like, have you met a teenager before? Like, they don't listen to anything.
Yeah, they don't listen. It's really difficult to contain the kids.
Yeah. I liked Andrew Cuomo's thing, though, about risk and reward. Apparently, that's what he would tell his kids. He'd be like, look,
right,
weigh the risk versus the reward. Like, is this worthwhile? And his daughter said that was, I think she's graduating from college this year. She was at the first press conference. And she said, yeah, that was always a pretty good guiding principle. Like, is this worth the risk? And, you know, sometimes some things are worth the risk. Contracting the coronavirus because you won't pay any attention to social distancing norms and things like that, probably not, I would say.
Probably not.
Yeah. But I don't know. There's some good, what did I watch on Netflix? We should probably do a Netflix update.
Everyone's watching Netflix. I think they've degraded their stream, and so has YouTube, because so many people are watching it. The internet is overloaded.
I hadn't really noticed. But I watched Raging Bull again the other day. Great movie. You ever seen that one? Yeah.
Yep.
Really good. Really holds up. Trying to find a television show to get into, but I can't really find one that grabs me. Peaky Blinders I really enjoyed, but I finished with that. Yeah. I don't know what
else.
Have
you seen Ozark?
Oh, love that. That's one of the best written shows, best acted shows on television. Amazing.
Very good.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe it'll be reruns of Friends. I'll watch that.
You're always a big one of that.
You know how in college I always talked about I wanted to be one of those Friends.
Of course. You would dress like all the characters.
I just envisioned myself going to have coffee with them and hanging out and talking about our dates.
Yes. What was it? Central Park Perk, was it?
Central or Perk.
Central Perk, yeah.
Hanging out there, drinking coffee out of ridiculously oversized cups, you know.
Yeah, hanging out.
Being like, real witty.
What's your job? What are you doing? Yeah. Just hanging out.
Marketing. I'm in marketing, and I got my
laptop. Advertising. Like, actor.
Update it. you have your laptop now, you're on your cell phone all the time. We should do, see, this is another, this is the brilliance of these conversations. I've got another pilot in mind. It's an updated Friends, okay? It's unbelievable. You know, it just flows like that.
Flows.
Oh, my, speaking of that, my brother said Episodes is a good show. It's got Matt LeBlanc on it. And he plays, he plays himself. And apparently none of the other Friends cast members will talk to him. They'll find him really annoying. He's always calling them. I guess he's like trying to get his career going again. And they're all like, I don't want to get into that. Yeah, some good stuff on YouTube. The Jamie Kennedy Experiment. Remember that show?
Yeah.
It was a hidden camera show. That was a good one.
Yeah, that was a good one.
So the advice is just roll. I got to tell you, we're in what, work day 8, I believe this is, or for me 9, because I was.
Well, work day is loose quotes.
Right. I was done on the 13th of March. So now it is the 25th. So I have to admit, folks, I gotta work harder to come up with stuff. It's tough. I go out for walks. I don't think I've ever taken so many walks in my life. You know.
I read a funny post on Instagram. It was like, you know, this is an opportunity to, you know, write my screenplay or my next novel.
Yep.
And you know, this was at like 8 a.m. and then it's like 2 p.m. I've consumed 2 boxes of mac and cheese and a pizza.
I saw one on Funny or Die. It was the schedule. It was like 4 p.m. wake up, 4 p.m. wake up, 4:10 to 4:30, consume entire frozen pizza. And then it was like 4:30 p.m. to 3:30 a.m. It was just 3 question marks. I have no idea. I do find myself like that. So I'm like, what if I, 2 hours have gone by. What have I done?
Yeah, what did I do today? What happened?
Yeah. Like I managed to maybe, I don't know, post something and that was about it. I'm like, I got to admit though, I don't dislike it. I mean, you know, we had the question a long time ago. What would people do if they didn't have to work? Well, I guess we're kind of finding out what people do.
Yes, we are. And, you know, and some businesses are realizing that, you know, it's not that bad. They can do this remote thing.
No. And you don't have to work 8-10 hours a day. You can just, you know, sort of work. Read books.
And life goes on.
Life goes on. It does go on. It does manage to go on.
All right, so what do we have upcoming this week for our fine listeners?
Well, we're going to talk about how businesses have been doing. Some businesses have obviously been hit hard, but others are finding ways to adapt. So we're going to talk about, you know, not just businesses, the way they're suffering is pretty obvious. They've had to shut. So we're going to talk about how have businesses tried to adapt in the form of, like, food delivery. One restaurant near me is doing drink kits that I don't know exactly how it works, but they're doing that. You know, the library tried to stay open for a while. They had to close yesterday. They were trying to do a curbside thing. You know,
you got to adapt or survive. It's Darwinian.
That's right. And then the second one we were going to talk about, about working from home. Possible upsides, how to work from home. I mean, a lot of people are home with their kids, which is tough juggling the two. My brother and sister-in-law were saying that, you know, they're home with my nephew all day. And he's 3.5 about, so he doesn't really know what's going on. He just knows he's not going to school. And, you know, it took him a bit to adjust. But, you know, they get him out every day. They take him over to the park and they did say they went to the park and this kid had it was like a toy dump truck or something like that, which my nephew loves, and he obviously wanted to play with it, and the kid was a little older, so the kid came over and he put the truck down and then backed away from it so my nephew could come get it because his parents, right. You know, social distancing. So, yeah, you adapt, but it's tough. My sister-in-law said she'd ordered every craft and coloring book and puzzle she could think of. Because they're Virginia, their school closed for the year. They're done. So my brother thought Washington, D.C. is probably not too far behind. Connecticut's talking about closing for the year, which, I mean, I'm right next door to Connecticut. So I don't know. It's going to be tough, but...
fun times, fun times.
Well, we don't want to, you know, I mean, it is tough, but we also want to talk about, okay, what are some of the benefits? You know, it's some, maybe not benefits is the right word, but... how to adapt, how to, you know, kind of fill your days, that kind of thing. I think getting outside every day is essential.
Yes.
You know.
Otherwise, you get some cabin fever going.
Yeah, I mean, I went for a walk, well, it was like 3 miles, sort of a walk run yesterday, and I just felt a lot better just getting out. It was kind of cold, but, you know. And, you know, you kind of can account from your time between like 1 or 2 in the... I used to go out in the morning, but I've started going out like maybe around 2 or 3 because I find like that's when I sort of hit the doldrums where I feel like I've done whatever it is I'm going to do. And I, you know, I've done stuff for school. I've done my own writing, done my relentless research for this podcast.
You know, relentless.
Relentless, detailed, insightful research.
Notes. Just notes are flying in the background.
Exactly. So we got those two topics coming at you. So, hey, look, if you're looking for something to do around 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon or maybe 6 o'clock at night, just, you know, turn us on. It'll kill like 45 minutes. Yeah,
and Maddie's got some shorties too.
Yeah.
There's going to be some shorties thrown in there.
Going to record a few more today. I would also say cooking at home. I'm wondering how many people are discovering cooking at home
This time. A fair amount. We should touch base on that from working from home, cooking on home.
Cooking
at home.
I mean, you can't order takeout every single meal. I mean, that's just impossible.
No. And there are, I mean, a lot of restaurants have closed. Some are still have pickup, but no, it's a lot of people are cooking from home.
Especially breakfast. Like, I would never go get breakfast as takeout food. Like, I would never get eggs and stuff like that. Like, by the time you get it home, like, I don't want to eat that, you know?
Yeah, well, bagels.
Yeah, bagels.
You're Massachusetts, Dunkin' Donuts, it's a big one.
Yeah, but honestly, like, one breakfast sandwich a week... I enjoy. If I ate that every day, I couldn't do it. I mean, I'd be so sick.
Yeah, that would be tough on the old system.
Yeah, yeah. I think making coffee, I wonder how many people under the age of 30 actually make coffee at home. I think there's a fair number of people under that age who only understand coffee from Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks.
Yeah.
Or maybe coffee.
No, I mean, I prefer... making my own coffee.
Oh yeah. I have the French press.
It's much, much better.
Grind up the beans. It's delicious.
Oh, it's so much better.
I mean, I'll get coffee out if, you know, if I'm out and feel like getting a cup of coffee. But I remember this, I was drinking from my travel mug and this girl asked me, "Where is that coffee from?" And I said, "Home." And she said, "No, I mean, did you get it at Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks?" And I said, "No, I made it at home." And she looked at me like I told her I made my own toothpaste. And she just she turned around in exasperation and walked away.
Like you made your own bread. It took you like 8 hours.
Yeah. Or made my own shoelaces or something like that. Like, so I wonder how many, you know, people just get used to, like, I remember somebody saying to me.
We should talk about that. With the working from home, because it all fits in.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I remember someone telling me, like, they posted on Facebook or something, like, they had gone out to get their coffee at Dunkin' Donuts. And, like, this was like a Saturday. Like, they went out to Dunkin' Donuts, got the coffee, and came home.
Yeah.
As opposed to making it at home. An adult.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, folks, we'll be back at you with those hard-hitting topics, because, you know, we don't back off.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you can't wait.
We don't back off here at The Working Experience.
No, we never back off. Actually, when everyone else is running for shelter, we're running into the fray.
That's right. running into, unless it's going to cost us money or sponsorship. Now you have to understand that.
Oh, then we fold like a cheap tent.
Then I'm giving retractions. I'm supporting the administration.
Multiple retractions.
Oh yeah, all the time. I'm calling up our editor Tom and saying, Tom, edit this out. Yeah,
I like the terms sidestepping and backpedaling. That's big here on the working experience.
A kid, one of my students, and I realize I'm giving myself a what do they call that? A compliment when you compliment yourself. I forget.
Self-congratulatory.
Yeah, whatever. Someone... There's a word for it. But he said, you know, you should run for public office. And I said, I know. And this kid said, how old are you? And I said, 46. He's like, yeah, we could write you in. I'm like, you know what? I would be the best campaigner. But once I got into office, oh, man, it would be ugly.
Be tough. Yeah, you got to sleep 16 hours a day.
They'd be saying
the decisions.
Kerr's administration is flailing through another day. Contradictions, retractions.
Stumbling through.
Denying.
Retraction. Yeah.
Once again, Kerr was a deer in the headlights of the press conference.
Yeah, you come out one day and you have such a hard stance, very affirmative, and then the next day you just backpedal. You backpedal off.
Oh, I would say mid-speech. Pulling a U-turn right at the press. And then when they... I loved how Trump, when that reporter just said, what would you tell people who are really feeling a lot of fear right now? He goes, I would tell them you're a terrible reporter. What kind of answer is that?
It's a great answer. That's what it is. A great answer.
As doesn't answer the question and calls the guy a terrible... Like, why is he a terrible reporter? I think he was somebody Trump had beef with, obviously, who was, you know, he felt calling him out and all that.
Of course. Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
So it's the perfect time to do so.
Absolutely. All right, everybody. So stay tuned this week. Hang in there. This will pass. This will pass.
Yeah. Hang in. This will all pass.
Yes, at some point. All right, everybody. Thanks a lot for listening.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of The Working Experience. We'd like to thank our sponsors, One Circle Media and the Still Believe app, the only app that delivers video proof of the Tooth Fairy and Santa by simply taking a picture. Download the app at stillbelieve.co today and amaze your kids. And if you work for a studio, network, startup, or corporation and are looking for a partner to create media that will build, engage, and entertain your audience, reach out to me at john@onecirclemedia.com. I would love to hear from you. And that's it. The end. The sweet end. Until our next audio encounter.